Good morning. Want to thank you all for coming. And it's nice to see some of these visitors, but they're family, so you know, I don't know if they count, but nice to see everyone. So we're going to start with our announcements. So Gary has one, and then Deb Jensen has one.
Okay, my last announcement on the new pastor. We got the apartment furnished. We used no money. We used no money from the church general fund in doing that, so everybody was generous. And the pastor and Cheryl arrived yesterday afternoon, so they're here. They won't be here this morning, but he'll be preaching next week. So praise God for a safe trip for them and that they're ready to go.
For those of you who don't know, Kathy Von Reason has three fractures in her vertebrae in her lower back. And so instead of doing a sign-up sheet for meals to help her out, she prefers if you call her and, you know, ask her what day or whatever would work best. But they ask for no shellfish, pork, or peanuts, and that John is lactose intolerant. And Kathy loves chocolate. So if you could help out with a meal or something for the freezer for them, that'd be appreciated, because she's not supposed to bend, twist, lift, all kinds of stuff. So she's supposed to take it easy. So thank you very much.
We're having Awana on Wednesday, prayer time on Thursday, per our habit. Reminder announcements in our transition here. Call Kathy Taylor for the church prayer line stuff, and she'll pass that on. We will be needing someone to help be her backup as we transition. Yeah, so anyway, that's a transition we'll be going through. So at this point, just call Kathy, and we'll see how when Pastor Bruce gets his feet down, what we decide. So information for the October lamplighter, if you would get that to Shana by the end of the day on Wednesday, so she has time to put that together. If you have not received an email from the new church email address, it's windsorefc@outlook, and Nicole Darnell is acting as our church secretary, and so all the church stuff run through Nicole, and she will appropriate or hand it off to the most appropriate person if you don't know. So she's just kind of our girl Friday to help us keep things in one place. And it's a transition, so we'll try not to let too much fall through, but it's going to be a learning experience for all of us. Today's service is something we've looked forward to and not looked forward to, I think we can all say. So anyway, as we start our time of worship of God together, and we just want to focus on Him and the unity of us as a congregation to praise Him, because He is the focus of and our relationship with Him. So, dear Lord, thank you again for this day and the sunshine. We look forward to worshiping you together and learning from your word and building one another up. And we just appreciate the opportunity to corporately be together. Thank you again for your plan of salvation and just the marvel that it is. May we be appreciative of that and learn to love you and grow closer to you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need to make an announcement. Thank you, George. Need to make an announcement. Last Saturday, we had a celebration for Pastor, and I think many of you were there. And you maybe saw me roaming around taking pictures throughout the event. I've put together an album. Who has it right now? Pastor, plug your ears. You're not supposed to hear this. And many of you have already signed it. And I have marked pages with maybe you and your spouse's first initials or your name or something, if you were there, and it's passing it around. So if you would like to sign this as a kind of a final remembrance gift to Pastor and Paula, we'll give it to them today. And I really hate to disturb the service, but the only time we can get this done is now, since this is our last day. So when you're done, pass it down and find your page. And if you want to sign it, if you weren't there, pick a page and sign it anyway. But again, I just thought this would be something that we could give them. So again, I really hate to break into your last service and disrupt things like this, but I'm not quite that organized today. So thank you and appreciate it.
Thank you. We are going to pray, and we have a couple of reminders here. Shannon Johnson, now that's Debbie and Jerry's daughter-in-law, right? Shannon Johnson, a friend of the Tom Johnson family, went to the ER last night. She had a mini stroke. She has two small children. And she had some problems right after one of the last births, right? Okay. So, and that went through on our prayer line then. But this is different. So, same person, but okay. Shannon Johnson. Pray for strength and comfort for my sister Deb Hoyt. This is from Tom Dara. My sister Deb Hoyt and her three grown daughters and their families. Her husband Bob is in his final days, maybe hours. He's been battling cancer and did not win the fight. I don't know his relationship with the Lord, but pray for him that he might find his way. We're going to pray. Oh, sorry. Yes, and for those of you who, well, it was mentioned earlier that Kathy has some back problems, and she was here. Kathy and John were here. She normally plays the organ for us, and she was here. I don't think she was supposed to be here, but she wanted to come and play the organ, but she tried it, and then they went home, so she just couldn't take the pain in her lower back. So pray for her as well, Kathy and John, and obviously there are many other prayer needs, so be in prayer for each other. We call ourselves a praying church. I hope that is something that continues to be a characteristic of this church body for years into the future. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the wonder of who you are. We marvel at your grace, your goodness. We praise you as we gather together. We sing a song like God is so wonderful. And Father, how true that song is. We praise you for the wonder of who you are, for your goodness and your greatness. We praise you that you are our God. You are the God. And Father, you have made yourself known to us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, for your Spirit who indwells us as believers. Father, we thank you that you have given us great comfort in the presence of your Spirit. He is called the Comforter in the text. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, the group, the ecclesia, the called out ones who fellowship together, who share in the koinonia, the fellowship of the church. We praise you for that. We praise you for this particular church right here. We are members of the Church Universal. Yes, all believers everywhere for all time. But Father, you reveal yourself in the local church as well. And so we thank you for this particular body of believers. We thank you for the wonderful ministry that you have given to us here through the years. And again, we pray for the years to come, however many they may be, Father, that this church body would continue to serve you well. We lift before you the needs as we have heard them expressed here. We think of Shannon Johnson, that physical need, and Deb Hoyt. Father, we would lift them before you, ask that your will would be done in those situations. Bob Hoyt, who is struggling with the cancer. Father, we pray that you would be at work to accomplish your will even through trying times. We lift John and Kathy before you, particularly Kathy as she struggles with this back issue, how difficult that can be. We pray that you would bring healing. And Father, for the rest of the needs, we pray your will would be done. We lift before you our nation, our leaders, that you would give them wisdom. Father, we pray that there would be a turning to you, that we would humble ourselves, that we would seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. And Father, that you would bring healing to our land. We pray that you would do good things. And we praise you for the way you have blessed us as a nation, as a people group. Father, may we never forget that it is in you, in God, we place our trust. May that be true, Father, not just something written on our coins or our money or whatever it is, but Father, we pray that we might truly find a new commitment to you, both on individual, personal levels. Father, it has to start with us. And then the nation as a whole, Father, we pray that there would be a turning to you and that you would forgive us. We thank you. We pray for your blessing, even as we share in this time together. It is bittersweet in many ways. But Father, again, I praise you for the privilege that Paula and I have had to be a part of this church body, the wonderful privilege that you've allowed me to be the one who gets to stand up on a regular basis in front of a group of people and declare the word of God. How blessed I have been. And I thank you and give you praise for that. But Father, we continue to pray for the days ahead. The mention has been spoken of already of the transition. Yes, this is a transitional period for this church family, for this church body. We pray that it would go well and that you would be honored in all things. So, Father, we just commit that to you. Again, we thank you. We marvel at your goodness. We pray your blessing. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand again, if you would, please. You are my all in all. You have sung it before, men, women, we sing separately, but we start together. You are my all in all. of you are no doubt expecting to hear from Jeremiah today. It's interesting, I check out the church webpage occasionally. George takes certain liberties with that occasionally. But we are not opting for Jeremiah today, George. Okay. It is my intent for my words, my comments, to be shorter in length today than you have been accustomed to through the years. And you were all supposed to say a good hearty amen to that. As long as I don't stray too far from my notes, that is a task I hope to accomplish, but I make no guarantees. Eeyore, for those of you who are keen of sight, when you walked in and said hi this morning, you may have noticed that my tie this morning is covered with little Eeyores. Eeyore was always one of my favorite members of the group who live in around the 100-acre wood. I have had a stuffed Eeyore in my office for many years. He has been steadfastly sitting on a shelf looking over me. I have another sitting on top of a chest of drawers in our bedroom next to our bed. He sees me go to sleep each night and wake up every morning. Eeyore's modesty and humility is something I have tried to emulate. We all could learn a bit from him. Yet he did appreciate a little recognition on occasion, thus his oft-quoted saying, "Thanks for noticing." The other members of that menagerie created by A.A. Milne remind us of people we know, maybe people we wish we could forget. There is the effervescent Tigger, who was always getting into trouble, not out of meanness, but simply because getting into trouble is one of the things Tiggers do best. Paranoid Piglet could never simply enjoy things because he always anticipated the worst in everything. Wise Old Owl always had a solution to the problem. But many of his solutions, though sounding quite wise, were very impractical when applied to everyday life. Kanga was the perfect mother, simply looking for the good in everyone, especially her precocious youngster named Roo, who had so much to learn. Wearisome Rabbit was always worried. And then there was Pooh. Life was just simply life for Pooh Bear. He enjoyed the simpler things. As long as he had a jar of honey, he was content. And he was never too frazzled with the things of life. When things did not seem to be turning out as well as he thought maybe they should, he would simply face the challenge with a simple, "Oh, bother." They were different, yet they lived in great harmony under the watchful eye of Christopher Robin. On occasion, little Pooh Bear, Winnie, could be quite the philosopher. Once, as he had to bid his friends farewell, he simply said, "How lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard." I agree with Pooh. Saying goodbye is never easy when you have developed a deep love and concern for the people you are saying it to. How lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. Some of you have asked where we, Paul and I, go from here. I did not resign my position here in this church to go someplace else. There is no someplace else in our plans. Paula and I would request prayers on our behalf concerning such things. As the Lord allows it, we anticipate that we will continue to live here in Windsor, at least for the time being. But we will distance ourselves from the church here for at least an extended period of time. How much time, we don't know. That does not mean that we're severing all ties with you. In the very truest sense, you are our family, and we would love to keep it that way. I've asked myself several times, how am I going to say an appropriate goodbye, at least with regard to my position as your pastor, in the short time I have in the pulpit today? I think of the Apostle Paul, who said goodbye on numerous occasions. He was, as you well know, an itinerant missionary. He traveled from town to town. He never spent more than a year or two, maybe three, in any particular place. Yet when the time came for his goodbyes, they were always thoughtful and sincere. We spent a few moments in Philippians chapter 4 just a couple of weeks ago here on a Sunday morning. Paul refers to the saints in Philippi, verse 1 of chapter 4, as his joy and crown. Certainly you fulfill that position in my life. He goes on to thank them for their generous support of his ministry. He tells them how he was encouraged by that. He refers in chapter 1 to their participation in the gospel. We don't know the full extent of their participation financially, yes, but there were almost certainly many other ways in which they helped him. The point being, as Paul wrote to them, is that there is no insignificant work when it is done in the service of the King. Your generosity and participation in the gospel here has been a blessing to Paula and me through the years. Thank you. Thank you for that. Paul refers to the church as a body in both Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 12. He reminds us there that we are not all the same. We are different in many ways. God has gifted each one of us in some way, but God still uses us as one body, the church, many individuals working together to bring him glory. We thank you, Paul and I thank you, for being a part of our lives and of the life of this church. What else did Paul say as he was leaving? Acts chapter 20 records for us his farewell to the believers in Ephesus. If I may read a portion of that text for you with a bit of redacting in order to make it fit a little better to our situation today. Beginning with verse 18, "You yourselves know how I was with you, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon us. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you, solemnly testifying to you of repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ." Paul then goes on to warn them to be careful. May I make just a request here that the book not be passed around right now? If you could just hang on to that and work on it later, that would be wonderful. Thank you. I'm sorry. Paul, again referring to his farewell to the believers in Ephesus. "You yourselves know how I was with you, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon us. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you, solemnly testifying to you of repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ." Paul then goes on to warn them to be careful. To be careful. He says that there will be those who would come along who would seek to draw them away from the true gospel. Then skipping to verse 31, he says, "Be on the alert. Be on the alert." That's something that was common in Paul's letters. Be on the alert. Be on guard. Stand firm. Don't forget the faith that has been established in you. Ephesians 6, 1 Corinthians 6, Philippians 1, Philippians 4, 2 Timothy 1, as well as other places, Paul tells his students, his friends, his co-workers to be ready to face trials in life, but stand firm in the faith. Peter says the same thing in his letters. I encourage you to stand firm. When we look to the Old Testament, the parting words or deeds that I find most challenging and most encouraging are ones we refer to frequently here. At the end of the book of Joshua, we find the people gathered at Shechem. We have referred here to that many times. I will remind us all that the Valley of Shechem had great historical significance when it came to the Jews as well as the patriarchs. It was somewhere in the area of Shechem, according to Genesis 12, where God first established his covenant with Abraham. "Go where I will lead you," he said, "and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. In you will the families of the earth be blessed." Verse 7 tells us that Abraham built an altar there, somewhere in the vicinity of Shechem. Genesis 33 tells us that it was someplace near Shechem when Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, wrestled with God, and then after being confronted by Esau, his brother, he built an altar to God there and named it El Elohei Israel, meaning God, the God of Israel. 500 years or so after the time of Jacob, Moses predicted that there would come a day when the descendants of Abraham, the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, would gather at Shechem and be challenged to decide whom they would serve. Deuteronomy chapter 11 tells us about this. Joshua chapter 8 tells us that after the time of Moses and early on in the conquest of the land, Joshua fulfilled what Moses had predicted. There at Shechem, with half of the people on one side in front of Mount Ebal and the other half on the other side of the valley in front of Gerizim, with the Ark of the Covenant there in the middle between them, the valley there, Joshua read all the words of the law of Moses, including the blessings and the curses. They had been taught, obey God and be blessed, disobey and suffer the consequences. Near the end of Joshua's life, he once again gathered the people at Shechem. Joshua chapter 24 records that event for us. Joshua again reviewed the history of Israel with the people. Mounts Ebal and Gerizim are still standing on either side of the valley as the people are once again gathered there. There, in that valley, Joshua once again challenged the people to decide whom they would serve. Joshua 24. And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." Now Joshua asked them about it three times, and three times they responded, "We will serve the Lord." This is the final time. The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone. He set up a masabot, a standing stone. He set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us." The point being, this stone will outlive us. This stone will stand here. This stone will be a reminder for us while we are living, but it will also be a reminder to those who are not alive today, but who will pass by this area sometime, and they're going to say, "What is that stone set up like that for?" No, it's a memory stone. It's a masabot. It's a witness against us. "For it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, lest you deny your God." Reminder. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance, and it came about after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Joshua's ministry was done, and the people had once again declared their allegiance to God. Sadly, it wasn't terribly long, and they basically turned their backs on that commitment. They needed to hear Paul's words, "Stand firm." As Paul closes his letter to the church in Rome, He lists many people. I think there are 25 or around 25 people listed there by name. He mentions them by name as those who aided him in some way in his ministry. Near the end, he simply says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." That is our prayer. Paul has in mind for you and all those who might call this church their home in the future. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. If we might return for a moment to John chapter 21. We were in this text just last Sunday. It does not record final words, but it does happen near the end of the time of Jesus, the time he spent with his disciples following his resurrection. He challenged Peter concerning his commitment, and through Peter, he challenges us. "Do you love me?" Jesus asked Peter three times. "Do you love me more than these?" We spoke concerning that text a week ago, so we'll not go over that again. But following the question and then Peter's response, Jesus told him three times, "Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep." The wording is just a little different in the text each time, but the message is the same. Jesus was passing the torch to his disciples. He knew he would not be with them much longer. He was telling them to keep on as his children in the task of caring for others. So we have that charge before us today. Feed my sheep. We know what is often referred to as the Great Commission as coming from Jesus very near the end of his time with his disciples. He told them to go tell people the good news of the gospel, teaching them, baptizing them, exhorting them to be obedient in his teaching. He closed that statement by declaring that he would always be with them. "I'll never leave you. I will always be with you." Though much had been accomplished, there was still much work to do. There is still much to do here, but Christ is always with us. In Paul's final letter, he writes to his young friend Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read the first five verses. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." That too is my prayer for you. Preach the word. Do it when you feel like it and when you don't. We are told that the time will come when people will no longer endure sound doctrine. We live in those days. They will turn away their ears from the truth. But you do the work of an evangelist. That means always be ready to share the good news. Tell them about Jesus. Paul goes on there to speak of his own ministry. This letter, 2 Timothy, is considered to be the last written word we have from the apostle. He says that he had fought the good fight. He had finished the course. He had kept the faith. "I do not dare place myself in any way in a position to be compared to the apostle Paul, but I sincerely believe that I have done my best." If you have benefited from being a part of this church family for some portion of the last 37 years, I give praise to God for what he has done and for him allowing me to be a small part of what he has accomplished. Occasionally through these years, and I need to mention my wife, my bride, who has gone through the good times and the bad with us, with me, I've mentioned some things about that just last Sunday, I think. And no, we didn't go home last Sunday and get drunk. In case of some of you may have been wondering about that. I have been blessed in many ways. But Paula has on occasion made the comment to me that I have to preach whenever, fill in the blank. And whenever she has said that, I have responded to her, hopefully in love and grace. No, I don't have to preach. I get to preach. What a wonderful blessing, and yet awesome, terrible responsibility that has been through the years. I know that in some ways I have failed. There have been times when I have caused offense needlessly. For those things and those times, I sincerely apologize and beg your forgiveness. But Paul says that even though he had done much for the kingdom, he had not yet gained the prize for which he had been called. Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, he had not, but I press on. I press on. Remember those words. I press on. That's something we should all apply in our lives when it comes to our faith. I press on. We go through good times, we go through bad times, we go through joys and trials. They're all part of life in this world, but with everything else, we must remember to press on. Press on. Not that I've already obtained or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I did not regard myself as having laid hold of it, yet but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, he says it again, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he ends the chapter with these words. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. And we'll finish with the first verse of chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. Father, those are good words for us to remember. Press on in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Don't neglect nor ignore what we have been taught, what we have learned. Father, the scriptures tell us that the things that happened in Israel happened as an illustration, an example for us to learn from. And we go to the history of Israel and we recognize those wonderful things that were done as you ministered to and through your people. We cannot begin to imagine the things that they endured and the marvelous things that they witnessed. Father, you have worked in wonderful ways with them through the years, and they are still your chosen people. But Father, they also turned against you on many occasions. They rejected your teaching. They rejected the prophets who spoke for you. Yes, they followed you, but they also rebelled against you. And Father, again, the scriptures tell us that what happened there is an illustration for us to learn from. And then we come to Paul, and he says repeatedly, stand firm, press on. We need to learn from that, that we would continue to stay committed to the things we know and have learned and have applied. And Father, as the world becomes ever more dark in many ways, as the world becomes more and more anti-Christian in many ways, we must remember to stand firm, to press on, that we might gain the prize that Paul spoke of. He stated that he had not yet gained that prize. He recognized that there was a future in heaven for him. We didn't read those verses from 2 Timothy, but it goes on where he says, there is a reward laid up for me in glory. Father, may we all look for that day when we stand in your presence. And may we hear those words, well done. Thank you for loving us, Father, for forgiving us, for being patient with us. I pray your continued blessing upon this church, the new leadership, everything involved. Father, I pray that you would continue to give your blessing. Keep us, all of us, in your care. And may we look forward to that day when our true citizenship will be fully revealed, as we are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Father, may we serve you well while we await the day. We thank you. We praise you for your great love. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to have a video. Please be aware. And when the video is done, we will be done.
We've shared, but above all else, I hope.
We thank you, Lord, for the time with Pastor and Paul. Bless them for their leadership and worship. Bless Pastor for his friendship in good times as bad. Bless him for his example of servanthood. Bless them with rest in this life. Bless them with opportunities to serve.
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you. The tears of joy we shed, the transition, and just be with Pastor and Paula in this time of change, the anticipation, the unknown, and we just, as they learn to lean on you even more, and as you lead them to new things, different things, may they have your peace and comfort as this chapter closes. We just want to thank you for the job well done and the show our appreciation and thank them and look forward to seeing them about town, but just the change, and just thank you for this time. We just want to praise you for these years and what we have learned and how we have grown. In Jesus' name. Okay, and we have one more thing. The Retirement Party Committee as a retirement gift. So thanks to all the congregation for your participation in the retirement party for Pastor Rod and Paula. It was a wonderful time of sharing and a good old-fashioned picnic. It could not have happened without the many volunteers that gave their time. And we would like to thank you for your generous gifts as a congregation. As of this announcement, the committee has collected $3,770. The Carlsons have asked that this gift be set aside in a special bank account to be used for a vacation trip. Destination to be determined. Thank you all for your loving generosity. So feel free to stay as long as it takes. We're anticipating it'll be a while. So thank you all. We are dismissed.